there is a four-letter word that describes why. It's called love. And so thankful for that, what Jesus did. And there's only one reason that he suffered in blood and died for us, and that's because he loves us. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, I know there's a lot of religion out there that has a lot of crosses. And I'll say this, sometimes we miss the true meaning of the cross. Understanding it was because the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did there was to pay for our sin debt. Some people try to earn their way there, but they can't do it. But I'm thankful for the love of God. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. If you need one, there should be a Bible somewhere close to you underneath the seat there. If not, then church folks, let's share with someone that's beside us. Ephesians chapter number 3. I have been overwhelmed with the thought this week of the love of Christ. And then even as early as this morning, looking at the love of Christ and the love of God. Because there is a distinction between the two of them, because God so loved the world. How many have ever heard John 3:16 before? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God was manifested by giving his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of Christ was manifest because he chose to come. And he chose to suffer and bleed and die to be able to pay the sin debt for all of humanity. And aren't you thankful that every sin, now listen, every sin around this world Jesus has paid for. He paid the price. Some people just have not accepted what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for him. If you found Ephesians chapter 3 and you're able to, let's stand together for the reading of the scriptures. Ephesians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 14. The Apostle Paul said this, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I love verse number 19, and this is where God has brought my heart to for this morning in the scriptures. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge." Doesn't that seem like it would contradict as we look on it? It does not contradict. There's not a contradiction in the Bible. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." May I say this in summary, and then we'll get into the scriptures here. I believe fully that we cannot completely understand the love of Christ that he has for each and every one of us. Because he talks about the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. But aren't you just thankful that he loves us? I'm so thankful for that. Let's open in a word of prayer and then you can be seated. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. Lord, I do pray that, Lord, through even my simple vocabulary and words this morning, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God would be able to speak to our hearts about the love of Christ. And Lord, that maybe we could come to a little bit fuller understanding and knowledge, be able to comprehend it a little bit better, of the love that Jesus has for us. I've never had anybody love me the way that Jesus does. Lord, I pray that that love would become personal and special to each and every one of us. Lord, if there's one here this morning that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they've never started that personal relationship with you, then Lord, I pray that they would be overwhelmed by the love of Christ this morning, to be reconciled to God, and Lord, that their life would change. Thank you for who you are now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Aren't you thankful that through the scriptures, God gives us a small insight into the love of Christ that he has for us? Now, I believe fully in this. I believe that we do not comprehend it fully. And I'm not sure if we ever will until we get to heaven and we see the Lord Jesus Christ and we see the nail-pierced hands and the nail-pierced feet and the scars where the crown of thorns was placed upon his brow. We see pictures of that. We see replicas. But may I say, I don't believe that any of them that I've ever seen or come across has actually done justice to the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for each and every one of us. Now, we might be able to understand the sacrifice a little bit better if we were to be able to compare it to any type of human relationship that we have. I have two children, and I could understand that if something was going to happen to them, of the sacrifice to be able to be made, and I would dare say that most parents that are here today have already gone above and beyond and sacrificed for their children. But if it came down to it, to even the giving of our lives so that our children may be physically saved, I believe we may be able to understand a little bit more. But can I say that that's not what this sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was for? In fact, it was God the Father that was sending his only begotten Son. It wasn't God giving his life for his Son. It was him giving his Son, saying, there's this sinful mankind, those that, because of Adam, have been plunged into, and we are born with that sinful nature, every one of us. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ that, as I quoted that verse earlier, that while we were yet sinners. In fact, Romans teaches us in the book of Romans that the Apostle Paul wrote that scarcely for a righteous man would some die. In fact, I've never met anybody that is so good in my sight that I would be willing to say, I'll die in their place. Now, there's three upon this earth that I pray that I would be to the point that I would say I'll give my life for him, and that would be my wife and my son and my daughter. And listen, I love you, church, but beyond that, you're on your own when it comes to that, okay? And you understand, and I'm on my own when it comes to you. I get that. But can I say there's a reason I would die for those three and sacrifice my life, and that's because it's based upon relationship. But you understand, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for each and every one of us, it was not based upon relationship, even though there was the hope that there would be a relationship at some point. In fact, the relationship at that point, the Bible teaches us that we were not even the friends of God, but we are actually the enemies of God. Can you imagine Christ looking down and not even saying, I'm going to sacrifice for you because you're my friends, but he was sacrificing for us, even though we were enemies. And as I look down through here, it's a deep statement to say and to know the love of Christ. And I want to share a few things. There's only three times in the scripture that the exact phrase love of Christ is used. And as I began studying and looking at those three phrases of scripture, I believe that we can see and try to understand and comprehend a little bit more about the love of Christ. You say, well, I've been in church for years and I know all that there is to know about the love of Christ. May I say this? I've been in church since 9 months before I was born. That's how often, that's how soon, and some of you are here, you're the same way. You were going to church 9 months before you were born, and your parents took you to church, and you've been there. May I say this? Now, I'll turn 43 in May. And for all of my life, I have heard about the love of Christ. But may I say this, in these four words in verse number 18, the breadth, the length, the depth and the height, we still have not been able to fully comprehend the love of Christ. But let me share a few things, and that's why I entitled the message today, Love I Don't Understand. Because you know something? I know who I am. I know the person that I look at in the mirror every day, and I'm saying, why in the world? I don't understand why the Lord Jesus Christ would look down and say the type of person you are, the sinful condition that you're in, and I still love you. I told a lady yesterday, Crystal and I were talking with a young lady, and I said, ma'am, I said, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this before or how long it's been since they've told you this, but I want to tell you today that Jesus loves you. And He loves you more than you can ever imagine. More than you can ever fathom. He loves you. It's about 30 seconds later that a tear dripped down under her sweatshirt. And we were able to start talking about the love of Jesus. And may I say it's more wonderful than we'll ever understand, we'll ever comprehend till we get there and we're able to see Jesus face to face. And I don't know if we'll ask Him the question on why. Why did you love me? I think He'd just say, because I did. Because of who He is. Let me share a few thoughts with us. Turn back with me, if you're able to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, I'm going to show you three things. Number one, I'm going to show us love defined. And then I'm going to show us love determined. And then share with us on love deepening. Love defined over in Romans chapter number 8. Look what the Bible says in verse number 31. The Bible says, What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Now look at this. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And the next verse starts off with the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I believe in verse number 34, we have love defined in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ that died. Aren't you thankful that Christ died for us? But may I say, that's not where it ended. There's a lot of religions around the world this morning that they have a Savior, they have a God, they have a prophet, they have someone that died for them. But I'm so thankful that this verse takes it another step further. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. You see, the Savior that we serve today is not one that is laying in a grave somewhere. He is not someone that you can go by and you can see His mummified body as it's wrapped up there, or see this beautiful sepulcher or this tomb or this casket which was designed and plated in gold to be able to go by and see. May I say that the Lord Jesus Christ never laid in state for a week or two after His passing for people to be able to go by and to be able to pay their respects. But it is the very definition of love that the Bible says that He died, yea, rather that He is risen again. But it didn't stop there. There's four things described here. He died, He is risen again, He's at the right hand of God, and He's there to make intercession for each and every one of us. Now you talk about love. Now understand the progression and the steps that take place right here in this verse as He dies for us. Listen, that would be a great display of love for any one person to be able to bestow upon someone else. But then to be able to die and to be able to raise from the dead. And not just say, hey, listen, I've died for you, I've risen, it's over. That's the end of our relationship. That's not where Jesus stopped. He said, I want you to know, He said, I'm ascending up to heaven. And even today, right now, as we are seated here, listen, do you know why we go to the Lord in the matter of prayer? Why we bow our heads and someone can pray out loud and say, Dear Heavenly Father, and we always close it in Jesus' name? Because the Bible teaches us that He is seated at the right hand of the Father. I know there's at least two thrones up in heaven. There's the one that God is seated on, and then to His right side is Jesus that is seated there, and the Bible says He's there to make intercession for each and every one of us. How many understand and appreciate what an intercessor is? We would use the term mediator. The Bible uses the term mediator. In another place, the Bible uses the term an advocate. He is a legal go-between. There is time after time after time that we come in contact with lawyers. They are a mediator. They are trying to be an intercessor. They are trying to be an advocate. They are filling those roles. May I remind us that spiritually, Jesus is there as an intercessor. That means He is a go-between between us and the Heavenly Father. He is there. I wonder how many times, listen, He has to look over at the Father and say, I'm coming to you on behalf of Peter today. He deserves to be wiped out. He deserves to be squashed. He deserves to be expunged from all history and blot His name out. That's what He deserves. But Jesus is there saying, you know, but He did call upon me. He did trust me as His personal Lord and Savior. And so God, the Father, as you look down upon Him, you need to look at Him through my blood that I shed for Him. And all of His sins are covered. And they're all washed away. They're all gone. And I'm coming to you on His behalf. There were two preachers that were flying back. That sounds like it'd be a joke starting off, doesn't it? There were two preachers that were flying back from Romania. And as they were seated next to each other in the airplane coming, I believe it was from Amsterdam to Detroit, and they were on that long flight. And one of the men looked over at the other one, and he said, has it ever dawned on you? He said, how many times, he said, our names are called out before God the Father every day in heaven. He said, every time someone that's in a church, every time, listen, our children, every time a spouse, every time a pastor, every time a church member prays for someone else, that prayer is echoed in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding on our behalf. And the other preacher got to thinking about that on that airplane, and he said, I about got excited. He said, sir, getting up in that airplane, he said, on every time someone would pray, God, would you bless, would you bless, would you help Brother Ricky? And he said, Jesus would look over at the Father and say, we're praying for Brother Ricky, would you bless him today? And every time someone would bring up your name, now think about this, the Lord Jesus Christ, you talk about love defined, died, rose again, seated at the right hand of the Father, and make an intercession for each and every one of us. Well, I'm so thankful. Now listen, I've met some good lawyers down here on this earth, and I've met some not good lawyers down here on this earth. And I'll just be honest with you, I'd rather just not meet any. I'd rather just not have them. And if you're here today, you're visiting with us and you're a lawyer, I'd love to meet you after the service. But not as a lawyer, okay? But can I say there's one that I'm going to come face to face with? I'm going to be able to say thank you for loving me. You know what's so wonderful about this? Is Jesus is my mediator. He's my advocate. He's there making intercession for us. And guess what? He paid his own fee. Paid his own fee for each and every one of us. So that we could come before the Father and say, listen, this one's on me. The blood of Christ paid for that sin. And I'm so thankful for the definition of love. I don't know how else we could define it except for Jesus died for us. But then love determined. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. I'm so thankful for the love of Christ this morning. The love of Christ. Look what it says, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 14. Says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that we should, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Aren't you thankful that he connected that once again? Not just the dying for us, but the rising again. We see this love determined because I'm fully persuaded that when we begin to understand the love of Christ that He has for us, that He looked down upon us. Listen, how many of us have something in our life, and I believe every one of us do, that sin that is against Almighty God, that we would just rather say, I don't want anybody to know about this. And I'd rather not, Pastor, please don't get up and tell my sin. I'll make a deal with you, okay? I won't get up and tell your sin if you don't get up and tell my sin. There's some things, listen, you think about the absolute worst thing that you can think of that you would say, I would crawl underneath these chairs if everybody knew that sin against Almighty God. And when we begin to comprehend and understand the love that Christ has for us, listen, He looked at each and every one of us with that sin in our lives and said, I love you anyway. And I believe when we begin to understand and comprehend the love that Christ has for us, I believe that that love begins to determine something in our hearts and lives. Do you know why I'm in church this morning? Not just because I'm the pastor. We are having chili afterwards, but it's not just for chili. I won't tell you by who, but I had chili a couple weeks ago from someone who was working on their recipe and brought me in a little thing to be able to taste test. I said, praise the Lord. I love being the pastor to be able to test chili. I'm not one of the judges today, by the way. Can I tell you why I'm in church today? Because I want to be here. Amen. It's because of being around God's people. Because when we get to the point and we begin understanding that, listen, as wicked of a sinner as I am and the things that God saved me from, and I begin understanding and looking around saying, listen, we're all just sinners in the sight of God. I've told some people this week, I said the biggest difference maybe between those that we try to help downtown in the courthouse and those that sit in church on a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon basis is some of them just got caught for the same things that some of the church people are doing. But when we understand that at our best, we are just sinners before Almighty God, and that God looked upon us and said, in spite of all of that, I still love you. Love determines something in our lives. First of all, he says that for those that he died for, that we should not live unto ourselves, but live unto him which died for them. You know something? I want to determine, because of the love that Christ has for me, I want to determine to be able to live for God. Some people say, why do you do the things that you do? Is it because you're a pastor? No, I want to do some of the things I do because I love God. And because of what Christ has done for me. And listen, that's where there is no distinction or separation, that every one of us that understand and comprehend the love that Christ has for each and every one of us, we ought not to be living unto ourselves, but we ought to be living unto Him who died for us. We ought to determine to live for God. Can I say this? The Bible also says in verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not only am I determined to live for God, but listen, I'm determined to have a changed life because of Christ in me. Aren't you so thankful that, listen, when Christ moves into your life and you give your heart and life over to the Lord, He doesn't leave you the same way. There is a joy in the heart. There is a peace that passeth all understanding. There is a love for the brethren. Now imagine that. Some people go their entire life saying, I could never love somebody else. But it's amazing what God can do in someone's heart and life. And we can determine to have a changed life. But then may I say this, love also determines to be able to bring others to that same love for Christ. He said down here in verse number 20, he says, well, let me read the end of verse number 19. It says, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I thought, you know, not only am I going to live for God, not only am I going to determine because of love to be able to have a changed life, but I am determined, listen, and that's why I've been trying to make it a priority in my life. I want to be able to go tell others and say, listen, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. Now, I said this last night. I said, you know, of all the times, I said, sometimes I'll just walk into a Dunkin' Donuts or something, or meet someone on the street and say, hey, has anybody told you today that Jesus loves you? It's a great icebreaker. Listen, I've never had one person get upset at me for saying that. Anybody told you today Jesus loves you? Most of the time they get a smile on their face like, no one's told me that today. And sure enough, I say that in the prison last night. There's a lady right on the front row. She said, if you ever run into my dad and say that, he'll probably yell at you. I said, well, maybe that's why God hasn't allowed us to cross paths. I said, because I have this horrible thing in life that even when I'm getting yelled at or something, I said, I'm still sitting there doing my best not to smile at him. And I said, and that's just going to make him more mad. And I said, but listen, just to be able to tell someone, Jesus loves you. Some of the questions I've been asked back is, why? And then some of the statements I've, well, there's no reason to. But yet Jesus still loves them. Can I say love determines in my heart I'm going to live for God? Love determines in my heart I'm going to have a changed life. Love determines in my heart I'm going to tell others and try to bring others to that same love of what Jesus has for us. I'm so thankful for that. But then I want to close this morning back over in Ephesians chapter number 3 on love deepening. My prayer is there may be some here this morning and they have never once in their life experienced the love of Christ. They've never made it personal to them. And when I say make it personal, I'm saying, listen, every one of us are born sinners. I never had to sit my boy down and teach him how to lie. I never had to sit my girl down and teach her how to throw a tantrum. Okay? We never had to do that with our kids. I understand. You have perfect kids, so you probably had to sit them down and say, now let me teach you how to disobey. No one had to teach them that, did they? It's just in the nature. And you know, the Bible teaches that by nature, we're the children of wrath. Every one of us are sinners by nature. And when I say experience the love of Christ, understanding that even though we're sinners, Jesus looked at that sin and looked at us and said, I love you anyway, and I'm going to die on the cross, the old rugged cross, the first song that we sang about. I'm going to die on that old rugged cross, and I am going to pay for every sin that you ever commit for the purpose of reconciling you to God, because He loves us that much. Some maybe never experienced that love. Some have maybe never made that personal and say, well, that's good for you, but I'm just not a religious person. I'm not looking for you to be a religious person. I'm looking for you to experience the love of Christ and make it personal to you that you accept what Christ has done. We accept who we are, that we're sinners in need of Christ. And we accept what Christ has done for us. But may I say, there's several that may be seated here this morning and you've experienced the love of Christ and salvation. Now, may I say that the love of Christ is not just to be experienced in salvation, but the love of Christ is to be recognized and comprehended every day of our lives. May I say, first of all, that there ought to be a deepening desire to experience more of the love of Christ. You say, how do I experience more of the love of Christ? We experience more of the love of Christ the same way we experience more of the love of our spouse. By spending more time with them. By getting to know them better. You know, I've never talked to someone who'd been married for 20 years. And their relationship is good, okay? I'm not talking about they got one foot out the door in that marriage. I'm talking about they're Christ-centered. They're keeping God the focus of their marriage. They're trying to live for God. I've never heard of one person say, you know something, I haven't grown in love for her whatsoever. No, but I found out this coming August is 22 years for Crystal and I. 22 years. Some of you are much longer than that. Praise the Lord for it. You're a great godly example that it can be done. But I believe everybody would say, you know something, I love them more today. Didn't even know what love was 22 years ago. I knew what lust was. I knew what longing was. Boy, I just wanted her. Well, hey, we were high school sweethearts. I waited 7 years for that day. I mean, I kind of felt like Jacob, even though I wasn't disappointed, okay? She didn't have a sister. 7 years that we were together as high school sweethearts. Didn't take me 7 years to get through high school, okay? There were 4 years of high school and 3 years of college. Let me explain that. High school sweetheart, I was so waiting for that day. And praying she was still so willing that when I said I do, that she said I do. And I'm thinking, man, I love this girl with all my heart. Can I say this? The desire for love deepening as the relationship grows. We ought to be falling more in love with Jesus. Every day that we read this book, every day that we spend time in prayer, that desire for our love deepening. But then may I say this, our love ought to deepen our dedication to Him. In verse number 19, the Bible says this, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. I don't understand all of it. I don't understand fully why, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I say this, it's going to take dedication for my love to deepen with my Savior, that just day in and day out, listen, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more. But then my love is going to deepen in our declaration of Him. He says in verse number 21, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Now, may I finalize by saying this? We ought to declare we love Jesus, not just in our words, but in our actions. People ought to be able to look at us and be able to say, you know something, they love Jesus. They ought to be able to look at our lives, they love Jesus. Not just in words, but in actions. And then I thought as I looked down through here, and I love going to Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Can I say in the very context of Scripture that is speaking in direct context of the love that Christ has for us? You ever looked at someone and said, "Well, I don't know if God can love them." "Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above." Do you know why God works in each and every one of our lives? Do you know why sometimes, listen, we'll look at lives and say, "Listen, I understand why God's blessing them. They're a super Christian." How many here put yourselves in the category of a super Christian? I'll preach on pride in just a second if you do. We don't put ourselves in the category of super Christian, but sometimes we put other people in those categories. Sometimes we start saying, "Well, I understand why God would help out Dana. He has his devotions and he's praying and he's faithful. I understand that, but I wouldn't even think that God would do that for me." Can I say this? God doesn't love him any more than he loves me. And sometimes when we say, "Why, I just don't think God would do that for me. He doesn't love me that much." "Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly." And listen, you're not going to understand it. You're not going to be able to comprehend. We start trying, but he says, "Listen, that ye may know what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height." Go ahead from all four sides of it. Try to understand fully the love that Christ has for each and every one of us. It's more than I can think or imagine. And before we start saying, "I understand why God would do it for them, but I don't know if God would do that for me," may I assure you that what He's done for others, He'll do for you. There's those that are seated here today and their marriage was about falling apart. You say, "I understand why God kept their marriage together, but I don't know if He'd do that for me." Well, I got good news for you. He'll do it for you. He'll do more than you could think or imagine. You say, "Well, I know that family, they had a wayward child and they were praying. And boy, their kids are back in church today and they're doing what's right. But I understand why God would do that for them, but I don't know if God would do that for me. I don't think He ever would." Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think. You say, "Well, I know their life. They were laying in a gutter. They had no hope. They were afflicted by all addictions and strongholds, and they were throwing their life away. I understand why God would make a difference in their life, but I can't think that God would ever do that for me." Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, God will do that for you. You say, "But why would He do it for me?" Because it's love that I don't understand. I don't understand why He loves me. I don't understand why He loves you. But I can say, based on the authority of the Word of God, He does love us. Loves each and every one of us. And if you've never experienced the love of Christ, may I say He died on the cross for you to be able to pay for every one of your sins. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said in verse 13 of Romans 10, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I'm so thankful that you can claim the love of Christ for your own today. Start that relationship with Him that you've never had before. But I'm thankful for those of us, and I can take you back to the time, I can take you back to the place when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I'm so thankful that every day I get to spend time with my Savior. I get to talk to Him in prayer. He gets to talk with me as I read the Word of God. I have that relationship with Him. And guess what? All I'm finding out is so far we've just scratched the surface of the love that Christ has for us. Just scratched the surface. I'm reminded, and I'll close with this. It's not in our songbook. Back in 1917, there was a song that was written simply entitled The Love of God. Frederick Lehman, and I think this is interesting, it was at a camp meeting in California, that he sat down with some scraps of paper, and he wrote out the first two stanzas of this song called The Love of God. You know where he got the third stanza from? And this is where testimony in history tells us that the third stanza, they actually found it written on the wall of an insane asylum. And after the patient was taken off after his death and taken to his funeral, they walked into that room and found the context of the third verse. Let me read what was written down. These are all three verses. Here's what Frederick Lehman said. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Now listen to this. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. And here's what was written. I'm not sure if this man was too crazy. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints' and angels' song. Words like measureless, strong, forevermore endure. That's just trying to explain the love that has been bestowed upon us. I hope no one walks out of here today saying nobody loves me. Because the love that Christ has for each and every one of us, if you've not experienced it, today's the day. If you are saved and know the love of God, why don't we pray that it would deepen our desire to know Him more. That we'd determine to live for Him and to tell others about His love. Let's stand together with every head bowed, every eye closed for a word of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God's so faithful to us. I'm so thankful for His love. So thankful for what He did on the cross of Calvary, that He died for us. I want to ask a couple questions. First of all, with every head bowed, no one looking around, don't want to embarrass anyone. I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know that Jesus is my Savior. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I've experienced the love of Christ and made it personal to me. I know that I'm saved. Not a doubt in my mind, I'll spend eternity with my Savior. I know that I am. Would you mind just slipping your hand up and slipping it down? I know that I'm saved. I know that I am. Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. I didn't get to see everyone here in the auditorium, but I wonder if you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I've just never experienced the love of Christ personally in my life. I've never made Him personal. I believe He died on the cross, but I've never applied that to my life, and I'm just not sure where I'd spend eternity. I'm not sure if it would be with Jesus or not. I've never started that relationship with Him. But Pastor, I'm concerned about it enough to let you pray for me. And I wonder if there'd be one here this morning that just say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that Christ is my Savior and I've started that relationship with Him. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up, slip it down? No one's looking around. I appreciate your honesty, sir. Would there be another one? Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I just need to know. I've just never started that. Would you pray for me? Well, then, Christians, let me ask you this then. I wonder if you'd say, Pastor, my love for Christ needs to deepen. It's just not where it's supposed to be. And I need to love Him more today than what I did yesterday. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? I'll pray for you. I'm so thankful we have that privilege and opportunity. Thank you so much. I'm going to have a word of prayer. Maybe if God's spoken to your heart, if you're a Christian, you need to come out and find your place here at the altar. It's completely up to you. Spend some time with the Lord. Father, we sure do love You. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that it's real. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. I'm thankful for the love of Christ. Now, Lord, I pray that You would work in a special way, that You would do that which would exalt our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Have Your will and way in our lives now, in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, Christian, if you need to step out and find your place here at the altar, why don't you come just tell the Lord, Lord, I love You. Well, I want to love You more. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven. You're not sure that you'd be there with the Savior. Can I say this? We'd love to do this privately with you. We'd love to be able to take a Bible, just be able to show you how you can know for sure to have that relationship with the Lord. And here's all I'm asking. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to maybe just step out from where you're at. Let us be able to have a word of prayer, share some scriptures with you. If you'd be willing just to step out, I have some that are ready to take you and just have a word of prayer with you, show you what the Bible says. You'd be willing to step out from your place right now. I'll meet you down here at the front. Get this matter of salvation eternally settled. Start that relationship with our Savior today. Just going to play one more verse. This is your time. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Let's get that settled today. We can do that. Get it settled. You say, I need that in my life. I need that. Jesus makes the difference. He makes the difference. We can do a lot of things on our own. But I'll tell you, for anything that's going to last for all of eternity, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. Father, we sure do love You today. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the love of Christ. Lord, I just ask that our love for You, Lord, would deepen. Lord, that it would determine in our hearts to live for You. Lord, to have a difference made. Lord, I pray that we'd love You more this week than what we've loved You this past week. It's only going to happen by spending time with You. Thank You for the scriptures now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.